In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. On the third Sunday in Lent, they use as a sermon text our Old Testament verses in the famous story of the burning bush, the call of Moses. So famous throughout the centuries, it has made its way into both religious and secular literature, in both religious and secular art. And today, through the mass mystery, it makes its way into our heart. And what is part of the mystery of the mass, the miracle of the mass, is that the story of Moses reaches his hand to all those countless centuries in places of our sword today. And he says, in essence, this is my sword, but also in part it is your sword. That's why we say the stories of the Bible are living. In every generation, every moment, they have something new and living to say. So today we turn to Moses, who's a prominent figure in the Old Testament, and stand amongst those in the center of both the Jewish and the Christian faith. So if I may, allow me to give this maybe a moment or two Sunday school research, of course, on Moses, leading up to this time. You know, we don't have to be school like we used to. But we still have education, and Christian education is still formed. We don't have problems with either, do we? Do people still communicate? Yeah. So all of us have a little Sunday school sermon that you can simply say that it's Sunday school and church today. And also, if you have a little fun, a little fun in the sermon, I want to have to see if you know some of these answers. So Moses was born in slavery. The Israelites, the Hebrew people, enslaved, and he came from the lineage of Levi, which was one of the 12 sons of
Jacob.
Someone went to Sunday school.
Jacob.
Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, the father of the close, the son of Isaac. He had at least 12 sons, and Jacob's name eventually was changed to Israel. And these 12 sons, these 12 and they had families, the families eventually became known as the 12 wives of Jacob that made up the nation then eventually of Israel. And of course, you know the favorite son of Jacob was Joseph. And the brothers were jealous of Joseph. They sold him to this criminal well that was stripped out and sold him to slaves. And he ended up in Egypt, where he rose to a prominence. He was head of the famine religion. He came second unto Pharaoh. When the great famine struck the world, and also struck Canaan in the promised land, and the family of Joseph, a long, beautiful story. Finding his family, reconciling them, and bringing them back to Egypt where he lived, where there was food and prosperity and safety. They lived in the land of Moses. But then, as Jacob died and the kings of Egypt came and went, the great kings of Joseph were forgotten, and these proud tribes populated and gained strength, became a threat to the kings of Egypt. And so, I'm thinking that they might fight with enemies, they enslaved the people, Israel, but they couldn't leave. And they could keep them down, they punished them, they made life difficult. And then, at the time when Moses was born, we hear the famous, horrific edict of the Pharaoh saying, the newly born sons of the Hebrews must be cast into the mouth. And so, the mother of Moses managed to keep him hidden for 3 months. At the end of 3 months, he had to abandon his child and place him in a basket floating beside the lagoons in the banks of the Nile. And lo and behold, who found him? Pharaoh's daughter, and adopted him, and he grew up. We think he's very privileged in the royal family. We're not sure if he knew who he was. Now, according to Sesame Mills in the Ten Commandments, and I told young people, they said he's not seen that guy, so let him just, you have to see the Ten Commandments. He didn't know that he was wrong. But I realized in the study that at least from time to time, there is a difference between the Bible and Hollywood. When I read the Bible after seeing the movie, I was disappointed that Aunt Baxter was so good for him with all these. He has a beautiful, beautiful movie. And so, these great
in the house of the daughter of Pharaoh. One day we come close to where this comes to the story today. He sees Hebrews fighting beaten by an Egyptian.
The Egyptian, the thing he kills the Egyptian, but then his identity is known both to the Israelites and to the Egyptians, and he flees to the land of Midian. And there we come close to the story today. Who are the Midianites? They were just the cousins of the Israelites.
Midian was one of the sons of Abraham by his second wife, Keturah. After Sarah, After Sarah died, he married again. I have 100 and his 6 more kids.
So people told me I'm retired, and I said Abraham did not retire.
He got all over at 100. And one of the sons of Midian, I suppose because in the final exam of Old Testament seminary, the answer was extra credit question. He said, if you get to it, you have to answer the whole floor. Name the son of the poor.
I didn't even know who that was.
So, the second wife of Abraham, no one got it.
The least if you are asset, you know one of them. Midian. And this is where it was Midian 9. And so that's where Moses fled to. He married, he met Jethro, a person. And Jethro, throughout Jethro's rest of his life, was a great advisor to Moses. He married one of Jethro's daughters. And there, Moses took up song. And we learned that he was a shy, humble man who sought obscurity. He did not want a life other than his own. And so he was content and he was happy. But one day, as he was looking up on a mountain, Mount Horeb, which is another name for Mount Sinai, it eventually became famous later, after he would receive the Ten Commandments. He saw a place that was burning but not consumed. And this is the key phrase of the day. He turned aside and went to the book. And lo and behold, he encountered God. And the famous line, and it had to be in the voice of the trust of the will. Moses, take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. And Moses did at this moment what many of us do in our prayer. With all due respect, the Spirit and all of God never left unkind. We keep like Moses. Moses had the God to say, but God first, Yahweh. Have you not heard the cries of your people, Israel, who have been enslaved and beaten and killed without victory? They are so lifeless and they cry, but their prayers go unanswered. And God said to Moses, I have heard their cries, and I will save them, and I am going to use your hand, your feet, your voice to save them. And Moses said what many of us were. Oh, no, I didn't mean you. He's coming up. He argued with God. And God gave him all the answers. He said, you might have had a teacher coming, but he said, I'm slow of speech, so I did Aaron to speak for me, your brother. But what God said to seal the deal was simply this. I will be with you. That's all Moses needed to know. No marriage was great. The Lord, the marriage was called to be God's Sarah. What did the angel give us? The Lord was with you. When Isaiah was called to be called, when Jeremiah was with you, all people who were called to big things or small things. But feel the deal of God is with you. And so that day changed everything for the life of Moses, changed everything for the life of Israel, changed everything in the history of God. And thus the story of Moses reached up to the dead. So the two points of the sermon, finally, these two. Number one, it's significant that we are called the love of faith. So Moses turned aside and he went to the burning bush. Rabbis of old, ancient mothers and fathers of the Christian tradition, have always believed and said that many might have seen that burning bush. But they either didn't know it or through apathy they just passed by. What made Moses different here is the world less traveled. He turned aside and he turned direction and he went. That's another name for repentance. Repentance. We don't like that name because it has a horrible connotation because we use it hard. But all it's a beautiful word. All it means is you change direction and you walk another way. So in essence, Moses repented, he turned aside, he went through the bush.
And what rabbis of old have always said, that every day of our life, we are poured into it, we are called by God, called to the same thing, welcome. That even through the white noise of life, or through our apathy, we just pass by. But a few truly turn aside and go seek those calls, seek those burdens. I go to monastery to convent, and sometimes we'll walk in and say, oh, these monks and nuns, where they know reality, they live this torture, and I go away and my Lord, they know that they have such spiritual impact because they spend their life being able to see the burning bushes in life, and they're able to illuminate them. Not all of us need monks and nuns. We have the season of Lent. And what is the purpose of the season of Lent? It's to call, to quiet our lives down, to use discipline so that we're able to see and hear the nuances of the things of God. Let it pass on. Let it be out of sense. So think about that in this season. And then, do we turn aside? Do we take on a daily basis? Do we recognize those burning bushes in our lives? May we keep the story of Moses close to think about that. And then, to know if we are called. And oh, by the way, even if you know this or not, I think it's a new word in the news for last year. Unprecedented times. I've never heard that word in the news so long. We live in unprecedented times. The world is living. God is calling so many people. You stand up to power. You stand up to racism. You stand up to wrong. You stand up to those who can't stand up for themselves. And we want to say, no, that's not for me. But God is saying, no, I need your hands and your feet. Every day we have burning bushes. And we say, can I do it? I'm far from perfect. And God says, what? I am with you. And that's all we need to know. That's what our baptism said to us when we're baptized. I was going to have Hendrick stand up today and say, he's a choir boy who will be baptized on the Easter Vigil. I hope all of you come and support this choir boy who's going to be baptized in this church. But I'm going to tell him that I'm with him. That your baptism, God has promised when you're good or bad or even in between your life, that God will be with you all the days of your life. As he was with Moses until the day he died on Mount Pisgah as an old man. That is the promise of baptism. The brothers and sisters, as we face a very difficult world, let us be able in the life of Moses to see the sensitized, to be here and see these grand voices and the call that we have to call most of them. Not just big, but small voices. And this is not no matter what, how much it will cost what it may, that God's presence is with us. How it comes. Not just this world is full of suffering. But it's also full of the overcoming of us. The presence, that overcoming of us, has to do with our willingness to hand the feet of God and our knowledge that no matter what, God is with us. May we hold fast to the story of this week of Moses. Amen.